It's good that we can be together again for the study of the Word, and we trust that there will be a rich blessing for you. Shall we bow our heads together and seek God's blessing on our study today? Our Father, we are grateful that we have this very gracious privilege of coming to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant our God, we pray this day, that there will be blessing from thy Word. Help us, Lord, to understand fully thy Word, that we might apply it to our lives. And now, Father, we would bring to you many folk within the sound of our voice today who have real burdens. We're so glad that you know, you understand. And though we do not know every individual one, save those about which our friends have written from time to time, we ask you to look into the hearts of those who have those burdens today and lift the burden and meet the need. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you are able to follow in your Bibles as we discuss with you the Word of God today, you will want to open them to the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, as we are thinking about the last paragraph of the 5th chapter, which begins with the 17th verse and continues on, or begins with the 21st verse rather, and continues on through the 48th verse of the chapter. This chapter, we have learned, is dealing with what we refer to as the amplification of the law. When the Lord Jesus Christ had said, "It has been said unto you, but I say." And when he made that statement, "but I say," he amplified, he fulfilled, he enlarged, he gave a broader application of the law. And we have seen that in the first statement he made when he said, "It has been said of old time, thou shalt not kill." And we discussed the relevance of that statement in relation to Old Testament teaching. But today, as we continue our thinking, we want to notice with you how the Lord Jesus amplified that commandment, thou shalt not kill. I want you to notice very carefully. The first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said is, Moses said all of that, thou shalt not kill, and so forth and so forth. But I want to say to you, now notice carefully, if any of you become angry without a cause, if any of you become angry without a cause. Now let us stop there for a moment. That verse, if we had no other verse in the Scripture, would indicate that there are times when we must be angry. There are times when we should be angry. If we search the Scripture, we discover passages such as Ephesians chapter 4, that lets us know that indeed there are times when we should be angry, but there are times when if we become angry, we are sinning. Now that might sound a bit confusing to you on the surface, so let's go back over this and think about what's been said. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I want to tell you that everything that Moses said about murder is absolutely true, but if any of you become angry without a cause. Now I say, if you stop right there, that would sound like the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, there's no sin to anger as long as you have a reason for it. But we must compare Scripture with Scripture. And in so doing, we discover other passages of Scripture, such as the one in Ephesians chapter 4, which tell us, if we do become angry, we are sinning. Some individuals say, you're mad, and that's a sin, accusing the individual who may have lost his temper. There are other times when individuals sit in lethargy and do not become indignant over that which should have people really stirred up, and they talk about the wonderful control they have. Someone ought to point a finger at them and say, you're sinning, you're not mad. Notice what I'm saying. One instance, a person can level a finger and say, you're sinning, you're angry. There are other instances when an individual can level a finger and say, you're sinning because you're not angry. You're sitting in the midst of all of sin about you, and you do have no concern at all. However, in this passage of the Word of God, we are talking about anger without a cause. If you're angry without a cause. Exactly now, what did the Lord Jesus Christ have in mind? Well, let's look at that word anger first. More than one Greek word is used in the New Testament for anger. And this particular word is a Greek word which speaks of passion. It speaks of uncontrollable wrath. It speaks of something that boils. It speaks by way of illustration of a kettle under which the fire is too high, and the kettle boils and bubbles and froths until it boils over. And then, of course, you have some problems in the kitchen. And that's the way it is with anger. Individuals full of anger and passion boil over. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, don't be like that. There's no real reason for an anger like that. The word cause, he that is angry without a cause, is a translation of the Greek word ake, which means without a reason. Don't have unreasonable anger in your heart. It isn't so much that someone has done something and caused you to be angry, as it is your anger is thoroughly unreasonable. Someone may say, wait a moment, weren't we talking about murder just a little while ago? Why do we talk about anger? Well, isn't the Lord Jesus Christ changing the subject? Someone says, no, he's not changing the subject. As a matter of fact, he's getting right at the heart of the subject, saying that if you and I are guilty of this unreasonable anger that has no reason, we will do certain things for which God will have to deal with us. I suppose that the primary manifestation of such anger is through the lips. At least the Savior indicated that such was the case here, because he said, if you have an anger such as I am talking about, you're going to be in danger of judgment. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, the judgment he had in mind was a civil judgment. It was a judgment of the elders in the gate. Now, in the day in which Christ lived, the day of which we are speaking, there were no courthouses such as we have today. The elders of the land, the tribe, gathered in the gate of the city, and during certain hours they held court. If there was anything for them to adjudicate, they did it at that particular time. What the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, if we wanted to use modern parlance, is you had better watch that ungodly, ungovernable anger you have, because if you don't, you'll wind up in jail. You'll be taken to the court. You might say, why would an individual be taken into a literal human court just because he had an ungovernable temper? Well, look down at verse 22, Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, that is, judgment of the elders before the gate, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. You see, when you are afflicted with this horrible anger, which we've been discussing, you're going to say something. I don't know what you might say, but in that day a man would say Raca. Now the word Raca, R-A-C-A, is an Aramaic word. It literally means empty. And when it was used to address someone in a fit of anger, it would be the same as what some of us are guilty of saying today when we say, you stupid idiot. That's what the word Raca means, you stupid idiot. I wonder today, have you ever been so angry that you address someone in that fashion, you stupid idiot? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ now is talking about murder, but he's amplifying the letter of the law. He's getting into the spirit of the law. You say, well, I would never kill anyone. Well, perhaps not. And I hope you wouldn't, but have you been so ungovernably angry that you address someone in this fashion? Well, we are told in this passage of Scripture that we have right here before us that if we use this kind of language, we are talking about the head of a person. We are criticizing his mental acumen. We are talking about his intelligence. We are saying, you don't know anything at all. And someone says, oh, I didn't mean that. They know a lot. I respect their intelligence. Well, God says, I look upon it more seriously than you do. For if you will look at verse 22, he says, if you make a statement like that, you'll be in danger of the council. Now, the council here was a reference to the Sanhedrin. And this emphasizes the fact that we must constantly keep in mind that in this passage of Scripture, we are primarily on Jewish ground. The Jews had not only the civil court, to which I have made reference, they had the religious court. And when this became a religious dispute, where individuals became so angry one with the other that they would be referring to them as stupid idiots, they could take the individual concerned before the Sanhedrin. The Lord Jesus Christ, you will recall, appeared before the Sanhedrin, and so did the Apostle Paul. Well, the kind of judgment about which we've been speaking, the judgment that comes upon a man when he's taking before a civil court, is a serious kind of judgment indeed. The judgment in which he's taken before a religious court would be similar to church discipline today. You don't hear much about church discipline today, but I wonder if we had more of it, if there would not be less ungovernable tempers and fewer cruel things said. However, the Lord Jesus Christ has an additional point to make about this ungovernable temper that could result in anger. And we're going to have to think about that when we meet together again, because I see we just don't have time to do it. And we always wish for more time to amplify more truth, but we must stay within the limits of our time allotted. And we hope that you'll continue to think about this subject we're considering, so that when we take up our discussion in our next study, we'll all start off in the same footing. May God bless each one of you today.